As always, there's much happening in the global economy and markets. The big highlight, of course, has been the surge in the gold price, which has remained steady above the $2,000 an ounce mark for the last number of sessions. Meanwhile, increasing coronavirus cases, especially in the United States, continue to cause some concern. Markets are keenly awaiting yet another fiscal stimulus deal that's been forged between the Republicans and Democrats. To discuss these issues and more, I'm joined on the line by Lukman Otunuga. He's a research analyst at FXTM. Thanks very much, Lukman, for joining us. So what's your reading of the Republican-Democrat stage of negotiations in terms of another massive fiscal stimulus this year? And assuming that it does go through, can we expect markets to run even harder? Although, of course, this money would be directly injected into the real economy.
Certainly. The $2 trillion fiscal package that was passed all the way back in March provided a critical lifeline for households and businesses. Just need to look at the $600 a week unemployment benefits given to roughly 30 million people. And that paycheck protection program kept the world running an economy in the face of COVID-19. So even with that handsome fiscal package that we saw back in March, economic growth in the United States still contracted by 32.9%, while unemployment claims and economic data in general was quite shaky. So I think this is going to have a significant impact on the markets. Right now, Democrats have put up a proposal costing around, you know, roughly $3.5 trillion, while Republicans are countering with $1 trillion. I think anything below $2 trillion will be met with disappointment in markets. So that's something we need to really keep a close eye on.
So Goldman Sachs has warned that if a discovery of a vaccine happens soon, especially around November time, this could see equities and bond markets unravel. In your mind, when the vaccine does come, what do you think this will happen to all of the massive stimulus programs as well as the capital markets in terms of their activity?
Yeah, firstly, I think right now we live in a period of negative yields, especially when adjusted to inflation. There is a clear disconnect between economic fundamentals and markets. While that correlation between bond markets and global equities has actually been broken by the unprecedented measures enforced by central banks, that unlimited QE that have been pushing bond prices higher. I think a vaccine may result in a jump in risk appetite, but then with the focus back on fundamentals, this would encourage central banks to actually turn the taps on stimulus, which could result in a steep decline in not only stock markets, but bond markets as normality returns. So even though it's good news that a vaccine will be found, I think that sharp return to normality could actually create chaos in financial markets.
So you must be a very happy investor right now. We know that you're a gold bull. And of course, the gold price has shot through that $2,000 an ounce level. But the question is, to what extent can it go higher?
Yeah, there's no place like gold, Nimpo. We've been talking about gold since the start of the year, and it's been in focus after repeatedly hitting all-time highs. I think today it jumped above 2060. If you want to put color to this, gold's explosive movement mirrors a speeding train, you know, reaching full velocity with the fundamentals keeping the engines running at maximum capacity. We have a broadly weaker dollar, negative US yields, pre-election jitters, rising coronavirus cases. The list goes on. So gold is fundamentally driven right now, and I won't be surprised if prices actually try to test that 2,100 level before we experience a decline lower.
So from where you see things right now, do you see that the coronavirus infections are going to continue to pose some destabilizing effects on the global economy or not really?
I still think that, you know, the fact that coronavirus cases are still rising in the United States and other parts of the economy, it still poses a key risk, especially when we consider how major economies like the UK, Europe, the United States are still nursing those deep wounds inflicted from the first round of lockdowns. As of now, you know, we've got the aggressive monetary and fiscal policies which have mitigated the damage inflicted by COVID-19, but I still don't think we're out of the woods right now. Well, another round of lockdowns triggered by a second wave will be enough to revive concerns of a slowing global growth, you know, and, you know, really hit global sentiment.
Yeah. Of course, when we had QE, you know, shortly after the global financial crisis, it was really of benefit to the emerging markets. But how do you see emerging markets right now? Because we're in a situation where all countries are basically impacted and affected by COVID-19, especially their economies. And of course, emerging markets will have been hit quite hard because they don't have the level of resources that your more developed markets do have. So what's your view on emerging markets and how they're going to fare for the balance of the year at least?
Yeah, especially emerging markets. You know, no prisoners. COVID-19 has taken no prisoners. That's including emerging markets. So, interesting thing I actually saw with what you're saying is we can see that broad-based dollar weakness remains a major theme. But other than the South African rand and the other one or two emerging market currencies, in general, emerging markets haven't really been able to exploit that bout of dollar weakness. And even more, when we look at emerging market oil producers, they still remain at the mercy of struggling oil prices. And I think that as things move on, lingering concerns in the form of slowing global growth, geopolitical risks, and US-China trade tensions are going to continue straining confidence, meaning that emerging markets actually could remain, you know, under pressure in Q3 and possibly Q4. It's the same everywhere.
Yes.
You know, local stocks, global stocks remain supported by fiscal and monetary policy, while the fundamental picture paints a completely different story.
Mm. Coming to South Africa directly, of course, we've just been borrowing lots of funds internationally to aid with the fight against COVID-19. How are you seeing the country's fortunes right now? And what are observers' views around the country's alcohol and tobacco sales ban? Because, of course, these bans have really affected industry, and some reckon that a lot of jobs and businesses are going to be closed forever.
Certainly, you know, South Africa, a founding member of the IMF in 1944, is interesting how they asked for a loan of $4.3 billion, and it's been approved. You know, today I'm not going to talk about the negativities, the fact that the National Treasury has forecasted a contraction of 6.1%, or the ballooning debt-to-GDP ratio, or the fact that almost 30% of people are unemployed. We need to look at the positives, like the fact that, if the loan is used in the right direction to support health, you know, extending child support, disability grants, you know, creating jobs, and one just needs to be hopeful that the money is used in the right direction. So South Africa has been given another chance with this loan. We just need to see whether the funds are used in the right way over the next few months.
Yeah.
In regards to the ban on alcohol, it's not really my place to say anything, but the government has given a reason why, you know, in terms of COVID-19 impacting South Africans, this ban has been put in place to, you know, help the health of people. But this will come expense of job losses, so it's a catch-22 here. Honestly, I don't know really what to say about this. Time will tell whether this will be the right decision, but just to end it on this note, looking at the South African rand, so far so good. The South African rand has actually been mixed against the dollar since the start of this month.
Yes.
And it seems to be a proxy for emerging market risk. You know, if situations outside of South Africa continue to improve and the United States approves that, you know, that handsome fiscal package, this could be positively received by the South African rand. So, you know, that's some good news there.
That was Lukman Otunuga. He's a research analyst at FXTM.